settle our emotions. We have already seen that there is but one basic energy behind all movement. All desires, all emotions, all thoughts. Use this energy in any way we please. We set this energy in motion, thoughts, emotions, desires, and in these there are many movements connected on the body. I often think that this force is used like electricity. We condition electricity. It's an energy, but we do not know what this energy is. We call it electricity. No one has ever seen electricity, but we know that it is because we can use it. And we condition this electricity to life by putting it through generator, wireless, X-ray, and hundreds, probably a thousand different ways we can condition electricity. So do we condition this life energy, which in itself has a basic unconditioned, free and natural. We condition it through emotion, desire, and thought. We direct it through these particular forms that we ourselves create. Therefore, we condition life, this life that is free and natural. I like the word movement because through meaning what takes place. In every thought, every motion, every desire, there is movement in one direction or another according to the nature of thought, motion, desire. In every emotion and desire, the thought becomes a central figure of movement. Therefore, it is our thought if we are to express our true nature. All emotions and desires are mental currents. There are two different kinds of mental currents, although only one emotion underlies both. We have the current that acts against us and the current that acts in our favor. But the basic energy is the same. Change it, we condition it. Therefore, we must learn and understand what we are doing. We find that this movement takes place in ourselves. We condition then this energy through our emotions, through our thoughts, through our desires. And immediately we discern what we are doing. We become aware of the fact that we are conditioning this energy in different movements. These movements affect us in one way, sometimes negatively, and in another way affect us positively. Nevertheless, it's the same. And I always think that even if it is a positive or negative movement, these are experiences in our lives. And as long as we discern and the cause of it, even the positive and the negative are the same to us when we discern, because we are neither affected by one or the other. We discern the cause. Discern our own conditioning of this energy, and we are able then to stand and look upon it as a relative thing. These conditions are relative to you. They are relative to the individual. And immediately you see that they are relative to you, then you have power over them because you deserve. But if you are caught up in the swirl of this emotion, the swirl of this desire, the swirl of the thoughts, then you're caught up in them and you are conditioned because you are bound by the condition. It is practically true that we ourselves are the creator of all things in our relative world to our mind, to our thoughts, to our emotions, to our desires. I want you to see this clearly, because unless you see this clearly, then you'll be caught up in these things. It is to free you from these things that I have come to show you in the photos of this wonderful truth. There is no limit to the number of emotions. Let us name some. You're caught up in impatience. You're caught up in anger. You're caught up in hate. You're caught up in indulgence. You're caught up in jealousy. You're caught up in ignorance. You're caught up in fear. You're caught up in selfishness, approbation, vanity, terror, dread, dismay, panic, fright, etc. Because you're caught up in them, the act against. Then there is the great emotion that acts in our favor, which is love. And that is the most extraordinary thing, that when love is manifesting in its true nature, there is never any fear. There is never any hate. There is never any indulgence. There is never any jealousy. There is never any egotism. There is never any fear or selfishness, or approbation, or vanity, or terror, or dread, or dismay, or panic, or fright, with love in true nature. I mean love, not possessiveness. You have to pass through, of course, that state of possessiveness to instead love before you can arrive at that. Then you stand alone. You stand above everything. And true love is seeing all the dimensions at one and the same time. Seeing every angle of discerning everything in its true place without being caught up in it. Even love, in its rational sense, you can be caught up in that. You can be caught up in the love of possessiveness. You can be caught up in that. But when you have this state that I am showing, where neither any of these things can affect you, you are standing, seeing all dimensions at one and the same time. You are free. You never condition love. You don't condition anything, because love itself is and must be the primary factor, the creative principle behind every movement that is constructive for the whole human. It exists in the atom. It exists in the molecule. It exists in every formation. Binding quality that creates the perfect expression of the infinite creative being. That being infinite must be perfect because it is eternal. That which is eternal must be infinite, and that which is eternal must be perfect. Little do we know that the body is the sounding board for all these emotions. According to their intensity, so are we affected. Think of your arms making a certain sound when aroused by any of these emotions. heart beats faster, you breathing the practice's jet. You sweat gland pour out liquid, your stomach turns over, your intestines crumple, your tear glands weep. If all these vibrations were to be heard by the ear, it would cause a discord beyond our imagination. Yet these organs really cry out in vain for relief. These organs begin to talk back to the mind. These organs talk back to the mind through the cerebellum, where this misbehavior begins. Where this misbehavior has been created through your emotional habit patterns. An emotion that is continuous becomes a habit, and that emotional habit pattern begins to express itself in some form of your organism and your body. Sometimes it is your stomach, sometimes it is your esophagus, sometimes it's your skin, sometimes it's your ears, and it can be any portion of your body of these emotional habit patterns expressed. The body becomes the sound. I always think it is necessary to realize that eating is also the most important thing, because you can't put a square meal into a round stomach. And I said to a patient of mine the other day, he came to me and he was fine. As broad as he was long, and I knew perfectly well what he was doing, he was eating far too much. And he had always lived Japanese is eating twice as much as he should eat. So I said to him, your trouble is you're putting this square meal in for a stomach. I was telling Johnny this week the other day, and you're revolver in one hand and a knife in the other. So a chap runs up to him and says, you see, you feel less than you kind of revolver in one hand and a knife in the other. Well, he says, I was just wondering, he says, whether I would shoot across the street or cut the cord. The combinations of the organs' behavior are limitless enough. There are those which harmonize our organs and those which cause disharmony. Most of these are not caused by reaction to physical danger, but by reaction to events, people, and things. With the result that we deliberately create a disturbance in our working organism, all these effects arise out of situations affecting our adjustment to a confused world of confused people. With the result, many people are on the verge of a nervous breakdown caused by our COVID nervous tensions. Now, what is that? We see then that we are not fearing physical danger. Our reaction is not so much to physical danger all the time, but our reactions are to events, people, and things, with the result that we become confused. The world is confused, the people are confused, and we're reacting to a confused world. If you then continue to react to these things, you're caught up in your own emotions, your own thoughts, your own desires, and you can prevent it only by learning what you are doing. Have you ever examined in your own mind the many situations that make you angry, jealous, or excite the emotional burst? Your heart, gland, your stomach, and lungs are in a continual uproar. No wonder you suffer from whole different lens. In this lesson, I want to help discern these thoughts, emotions, and moments that are continually causing your organism to break down. When you realize that from every emotion or desire, you can extract a mighty power, you have discovered a gold mine within yourself. That's when these emotions begin to rise up within you. The energy is already begun to move in the direction, the movement according to your thought, your emotion. The movement is set in action. You have already caused the energy to be active. Now there's only one principle of energy. And how are we then to change the polarity of this energy once we have aroused? So that this energy does not affect us destructively, but we can use it after it is aroused and directed into channels that will aid and help us. There is tremendous force in every emotion. We must not then suppress an emotion. If there is a tremendous force in an emotion, and you suppress that emotion, unknowingly, you're only creating trouble for yourself. If that emotion is a movement in the wrong direction, and you suppress it, do you think that you have destroyed after that movement, though it continues in that direction. But immediately you become aware of it, thereby changing the polarity of the energy to work for you and not against you. You are the director of this energy. You are the director of the movement. But you can only do that when you become aware of your own awareness. That seems Greek, but you can't think about it for a little while, and you will see how magnificent it is. Become aware of your own awareness. And then become aware of the movement you have created. You, being that director, can change that movement into any way you will. The energy being aroused goes forward in the direction that you direct it. But you can only do so when you become aware of it and not caught up in it. We have two nervous systems that function as one. Each being interlocked with the other. Although their functions are different, they act towards one end. One nervous system deals with the external and the other with the internal. One deals with the external things. This organism here is called the cerebral. Otherwise, we call it the cerebrospinal nervous system. And the other one we call the sympathetic nervous system, which originates in the cerebellum. These two are linked together by what we know as motor or sensory nerves, so that your thoughts passing through the cerebrospinal system is caught up through the sensory and motor nerves, and the sympathetic nervous system takes up and performs exactly what you think and feel. And it is this organism that tells you what you feel. For the body begins to talk back to the brain, and the cerebellum begins to tell the cerebrum what it feels. And therefore, if you do not know what's going on, then the vicious circle is in operation to cause you to not understand. But once you understand the mechanism that I am showing, you will soon find out that you can direct the energy, you can change the polarity, because you are the director. Because you have become aware. If you do not know the difference between the real and the false, then you are lost in your emotion. When you are aware of our true nature, our nervous system sends impulses that harmonize, result being that we build healthy bodies, relaxation, natural harmony. Later on, we will have to deal with relaxation in all its aspects. I am not going to talk too much about relaxation at the present time, but what I want to tell is this. I said before, when you take off the brakes, nature does the work. Why? It is very simple. Life is unconditioned. I told you then that we condition life through our emotions, our desires, our thoughts, and by these we cause tension through the nervous system that is our picture for the body. Our muscles become tense. They cause pressure on various vital centers. When we see that the external muscles are tensed, we know perfectly well that the internal muscles are tensed also. We have conditioned life. We have put life in a cage. What do you do then? You must relax. Conscious relaxation then tends to break up tension and break up these habit patterns that are created through conditioned life. To better understand the mechanism of these reactions, I will give you a short summary of the brain, the nervous system, and how they act. Realizing always that this organism is definitely under the control of the mind and will or consciousness. What consciousness is aware of, so does this simple yet complicated organism of brain and nerves act accordingly. The brain is divided into four major parts, all working separately, yet all interlocked in their act. There is a frontal or higher brain we call the cerebellum. It's the brain that does all the knowing. It thinks, reacts to external things, and decides. You use it to read with. All that the consciousness is aware of comes through the cerebrum. Then we have the cerebellum, the lower brain. This portion of your brain is the part that feels. The higher brain interprets the situation and sends it on to the lower brain for feeling and action. The lower brain or cerebellum sends its messages in turn to the higher brain in terms of how it feels about the situation. When you are elated, calm or depressed, when you have nervous reactions, fear, etc., when you have an upset heart or stomach, it is the cerebellum that tells you what it means, what is going on in the body. The cerebellum or lower brain is the controller, coordinating all the functions of the body. It keeps the heart, lungs, stomach, circulation of the blood, glands, muscles, etc., all working together as one team. And when the cerebellum is free from misbehavior created by your own emotional habit patterns, the organs work smoothly, easily, coordinated properly because of a free cerebellum. But if there is misbehavior in the cerebellum, then there is interruption. Then there is misbehavior in the organs and the coordinating quality can be lost. When you are hungry, it's the lower brain that tells you about it. And when you become aware of food, through the higher brain, this message is telegraphed to the lower, and the whole body becomes active. The digestive juices begin to flow, etc., ready to receive the food. You notice the dog, when a plate of dinner is put down beside it, and it is held back for a moment, you see the saliva running from the mouth. It sees the food, and the cerebrum sends the message to the cerebellum. The cerebellum, the coordinating power of the body, causes the glands to throw out the necessary substance for the digestion of food. When you see food on the table, you're hungry. Brain tells the cerebellum what it is. Cerebellum then prepares the whole of the organs of the body to become ready. It is this same portion of the brain that becomes active through various emotions, and these are reflected upon the body. This organ reports what is going on in your body to the higher brain. When in a nervous tension, your heart beats fast, your knees tremble, your hands shake, your stomach does convulsions, it's the lower brain that tells you what is happening. You do not run because you fear. You fear because you run. The more you run, the greater the fear, because you're caught up in it. So we see then these are the two what we call major organizations of the nervous system that control the mechanism of the body. Now we have what we call the medulla. It's the organ that is like a telephone exchange. All the wires, all the nerves, passing on the messages to each and every part of the body. All nerves pass through this wonderful part of the brain. Each organ gets its message accurately. There is no slip in the exchange, no double change. This, then, for all the nerves move in the body. But each has its own sheath. Each passes through its complete compartment and is sent on to every part of the body. Each different message is carried separately to that part of the body, most wonderful, organized, danced, who created, but the instrument itself, the great jealousy of it. Life then created the body. And to reorganize the body, life that is under condition, created the body for its own self-expression. Now comes a master control from above, and in the center of the brain, dividing the front or higher from the lower, there is what is called the corpus callosum. The masters speak of this as the spirit nucleus, and through this all cosmic truth comes, otherwise known as the thousand petals situated above the head. In drawings you have seen of this thousand petals, it is like a trumpet that opens above the head, and as it were, vibrations of intelligence pour into this corpus callosum, and there it is received in its true nature. It's passed on to the brain, to this portion of the brain here, the cerebrum, where the cerebrum then takes hold of it and brings it and makes it into ideas of words and sound that you can understand. So, in everything, what is happening at this very moment is the same thing. I am standing here. I talk freely to you. But many of the things I tell you, I have never known before myself. I only know them when I make them into words. When I make them into words, ideas, of truth, I have then conditioned this wisdom. It comes through this corpus callosum, and therefore I take hold of it through this brain of mine and form it into words and ideas that I hand out. And you then, with your own mind, accept these things because you know it's true. Your experience tells you that what I tell you is true. The simplicity of this wonderful truth is beyond the understanding of human nature. So simple is the operation, yet so complicated in its nature that it's beyond our comprehension. It is in this portion of the brain that knowledge and understanding is obtained without reason. In fact, this is the all-knowing center, and when developed, conveys knowledge, etc., by means of inspiration to both the higher and lower brain, thereby influencing both, and gives confidence to the higher, and the lower is harmonized and calm. The organization then receives the blessing that all wisdom that is continually pouring into us when we open ourselves to it. This wisdom then is unconditioned, free and natural, cures all conditions, cleanses the mind. It takes all forms of negative vibrations away, because consciousness is aware of this wonderful power that neither knows good nor evil. It does not know success or failure, because these things are relative things. It only knows itself to be true. In that truth, life. In that truth is free. But as this center must be developed, and by the means I am using and teaching you, the process is gradual, yet firmly established. I will more say about this later on as we come to this part of the course. Now I want to deal with the emotional. That basic emotion that underlies all emotions that work against us. When man fears, he perceives some kind of danger to himself, physically or mentally or socially. The next reaction is one of fear, and how it can be accomplished. We all seek. Unless we can discern the fact that we are seeking an escape, we will never be able to eliminate it, or we'll never be able to escape. For the simple reason that we are always caught up in our escape. But if we see what we are doing and the means through which we are trying to escape, then we will dissolve it. It is often true. When you begin to discern the cause why you want to escape, then you have solved the problem. One man's danger is another man's everyday work. The man who works on the construction of a modern 100 story structure and who leans against the wind, who faint in the cage of lions. Yet the lion tamer would crawl on his belly and hang on in prostrate fear even beyond despair. The riveter who catches red hot rivets with ease would almost faint when asked to make a speech before an audience. How then would you cure the habit of fear? The man, first of all, who goes up on a 100-story steep structure, he didn't obtain his confidence all at once. It took him years of practice. So the riveter took years of practice. So the lion tamer took years of. So practice is the thing. Practice. Until you come familiar, then when you become familiar, your fear disappears. Fear of the unknown is the cause of most of your basic fears. Something unknown. Something that's not tangible. The bridge that you never cross. These fears set up reflexes in the body, creating disagreeable sensations, which create a strong secondary motive to find an escape. If escape is impossible, these secondary feelings may become so intense as to produce paralysis, and how true that is. If we cannot find an escape, then we feel heavy. Our fear may paralyze us. Take, for instance, walking on an 18-inch plank along the floor. You can walk on it with perfect ease, 18 inches, from here to the end. But put that plank 100 feet up in the air from one building to another, and then tide will cross it. See what would happen. Why can't you walk across the plank as easy 100 feet up in the air from one building to another as you can walk across the floor? Because of the fact that you have perfect confidence you will do it here, there is something to support you, but up there there is nothing. And your feel of fall is the fear that causes you, prevents you from walking across that plank 100 feet in the day. Most of you then suffer from this fear of being unhinged. Have not confidence. But by practice, you do have the confidence. And that is to say, when you understand that, your fears at the beginning may be great, but as you practice, your fears become less and less, as long as you do not see. Immediately begin to seek an escape, then you have lost yourself. The person who walks across the plank will lie on his belt, and he'll struggle, even struggle on that, because he wants to escape from the fall. You end your fear when you discern the cause and the process in operation. Suppose you hear a voice in the house. You're afraid of burglars. If the noise you perceive is just a cat knocking something over, chasing a mouse, your fear ends. But if you did not deserve the cause, your fear might make you scream for help or even paralyze. Later on, we will deal with the means of banishing. Fear is a lack of confidence, a lack of understanding. Habit is a great antidote to fear. Fear of animals will disappear when you get the habit of working with them. Fear of climbing rocky bases will disappear when you get the thrill of climbing into your blood through habit. There are very few people in the world who climb rocky bases. I have climbed many in my time. I have climbed the Himalayas, but I have climbed even steeper mountains than that. I have climbed Mount Cook in New Zealand, which is one of the steepest and most dangerous mountains in all the world. Although it's only 12,000 feet above sea level, its pinnacles of ice are almost perpendicular. And I know what thrills it used to give me when I used to perch and hang with my fingers on a ledge and look down hundreds of feet below into space. It's a thrill, I tell you, it's a thrill. Perhaps I was always a daredevil, but nevertheless, that was bred in me, as it would, when I was a boy. But in my younger life, my nearly 50 years ago, I was out in the East. I was Secret Service in the East. And I can tell you something new. Escapes I had, yet it was all fun to me. Fun. And I think that when you pass through those things, it gives you how you shut that, stab that, kick that, and all these sort of things. It is not running away that helps, but facing the situation and to establish the habit of facing every situation. Generally hate the person you have injured because you refuse to admit your fault. Therefore, you find something in that person to hate. But you only injure yourself by doing so. All emotions such as hate, jealousy, selfishness, egotism, excessive vanity are influences that rise to the surface in the form of energy. You will note that this energy is working against you and not in your favor. To suppress this enemy in its present form does not relieve you, but only intensifies the condition. So therefore, if these emotions arise and you suppress them, you haven't done anything. You've only intensified that emotion, and it will rise again, greater than before. You've got to destroy this movement by suppressing. Neither can you remove it by putting another in its place. You have to discern what you are doing. Then this same energy is transmuted and released through the realization of the fundamental life principle of love that is the foundation of all true expression and perfection. Remember, reason thinking masters every situation. I remember one time, many years ago, exploits. They told me, now you must be very careful, otherwise you may be shot. You don't know what's going to happen to you one moment or another. And especially when you're asleep. Hold your revolver in your hand and hold it down in between your legs, cover the neck, and hold ready at any moment to shoot to protect yourself. So this went on, I did this many nights and so forth, until I got blooming tired. I got so bad that every night I went to bed that I was afraid of somebody to shoot me. And I began to have those sort of nightmares. I used to hear noises, jump up at once, and shoot. And I found that I was shooting in the air. So I took my revolver and pushed away on the sun. And from that moment, I never had another night. I was free. And that is the same with everyone. We are afraid. We support our fears by our actions. And we bring on the results. Reason thinking masters every situation. Hate is the most destructive movement in your body. It poisons the system and causes the blood to become impure. Anger is another of a similar nature. All these emotions find their expression in body function. Jealousy is an admission of failure. Ask yourself why you are jealous. Is it because some other person has qualities that you don't have? Or you believe you do not have? When you begin to admire what you see in others, be established. These things in ourselves. But if you get away from the relative altogether into that which is real, you'll establish a sense of security that can never be attained through a belief in your personality, a belief in your own power, a belief in your capabilities, a belief in your so-called intellectualism, or you think that you have security in your administration or your job, whatever the case may be. There is no security in any of these relative things whatsoever. If you think that you have security because you're good looking, you will find that it is not so. But if you know that life itself is unconditional, is perfect in itself, and it is that life is expressing itself always, you can condition that life. Your heart then becomes the vocal part of the expression of life, and you can direct it any way you please. We have life, we have power, we have electricity, we have all different forms, hundreds of different ways we are using electricity. Use light just the same. There are millions of lights in the city, but there's only one electricity that can be involved. There is only one light, even though there are millions of people, but there's only one light that is expressing itself through them all, and it's the same light. You are conditioning life, I am conditioning life, yet when you know that it's free, there is freedom. After putting into operation what I have shown you, you will find a complete change taking place within yourself. Instead of having your heart, stomach, and glands in a continual uproar, you become a placid, well-organized individual ready for any eventuality. You will welcome temptation because you will understand the powerful mental force used to your advantage. The supreme factor in this method whereby we find relief is to realize that there is no separation. The conception of ourselves being separate from divine life is the root of all our problems. Every mental and emotional impulse implies a molecular action in the brain and in the twofold nervous system which controls every organ and cell in the body. Hence, you see, cause and effect in operation. Truth alone will set you free. O great eternal one, thou hast made all plain those who heed thee. I was caught up in the gulf stream of emotion and carried to distant shores. Yet there I found thee waiting for me. O great emotion of love, as I grasped thee with all my strength, I found that eternal spring of living water. I dread deeply and found the truth that love alone heals all. Now I am drunk with thy ever-refreshing balm. Oh.